The first two sources we'll mention are not in the sheet you have in front of you. I apologize. But Ben Yonah, the beginning of Shari Tshuva, in talking about the damage, the danger of procrastinating and doing tshuva, writes as follows. Va'od hisbonein b'ro'as ha-mes'achem in ha-tshuva ki rabahi. Reflect upon the fallout from procrastinating and doing tshuva because it's very great. Hilula hismameya. If a person hadn't procrastinated, if he had done tshuva promptly, ki ato shov ne'anach b'merivus leiv b'regozo uvedo'oga. If a person had repented experiencing fully the bitterness, the anguish, the anxiety associated with doing tshuva. Ki yifkashehu yitzvah shenis v'yizdamin achet liyodo yichboshes yitzvah. When he would encounter that same temptation, that same test, that same trial, he would overcome his yetzer. V'yizko asher odva olav kos hamerivus, and he would remember the cup of bitterness that he had to drink in doing the tshuva. V'lo yosef lishtosa od. The depiction of tshuva that Rabbeinu Yonah provides us is remarkable. It's not the casual, perfunctory performance that we're all too familiar with. Rabbeinu Yonah describes tshuva as a gut-wrenching experience. A person experiences merivus, bitterness, regoza, de'oga, distress, anxiety. All of which is inherent in confronting fate. He says, if only a person would, if only we would do tshuva promptly, so then that association of distress and anxiety with chet would be the best preventive measure, the most effective and potent preventive measure. Ramchal also, when he mentions tshuva, the process of tshuva, speaks of mitzta'er belibo tsa'ar chazot. A powerful sense of distress grips a person. The Abavanel says that in addition to the normative Torah Sheba'al Peh interpretation of the Inisim and Yom HaKippurim, there's an additional level of interpretation that the Torah also has in mind, in addition to abstaining from food, drink, washing, etc. The Inisim also means that we afflict ourselves in confronting chet and in doing tshuva. Not a physical affliction, and existential one. Perhaps we'll reflect together for a few minutes as to why this depiction of tshuva doesn't resonate sufficiently with us, and what we can do to spark a tshuva process that conforms to Rabbeinu Yonah, Ramchal's, the Abarbanel's description. Let's begin that exploration with the first passage you have here in the Rambam. La'olam yira odam atzmo ki'ilu hu notel lomus. A person should view himself, herself, as on the threshold of death, Rachmana Litzlan. V'shema yomus v'shaito. And recognize the possibility that the next few moments may be his last. V'nimtza omei b'cheto. And if the status quo be allowed to continue, a person will still be mired in chet, Rachmana Litzlan. V'fichach yoshuv mechatov miyad. This should galvanize a person to repent immediately. V'lo yomar kisha azkin oshuv. And a person shouldn't postpone and say, I have plenty of time, when I grow old, then I'll repent. Shema yomos torim sheyaskin. Lest a person leave this world before he reaches old age. Hu sheshlama omer b'chachmaso b'chol eis yu v'gadecha levanim. One's garments should always be white. The Rambam, of course, is basing himself on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, as elaborated in the Gemara, in the next source. Tznan Hosam, Rebeleza Omer, Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misascha. Person should repent the day before his death. Shalu Talmidei v'Rabbi Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Elezer's disciples posed the question to him, V'chi Adam Yodei Ezeu Yom Yomus. What person has that insight? Amar Lehen V'kol Shekein, Yoshuv Hayom Shema Yomus L'mochla. Because we lack that insight, because life is so tenuous, Yoshuv Hayom Shema Yomus L'mochla. V'nimtza kol yomav v'tshuva. A person lives with that approach, with that mindset, his entire life, he'll be engaged in tshuva, v'av shlomo omer v'chachmaso, v'chol eis, yu v'gadecha levonim, v'shemen al rosh v'al yechsa. On one level, contemplating Yom HaMisa, Rachmana Litzlan, engaging one's mortality not only in a detached, impersonal, intellectual sense, but in a very real, immediate, personal sense. That engagement is depressing and sobering. But because it's depressing, it also depresses the Yetzer Hara in all of its manifestations, which holds us in its grip and facilitates tshuva. And on one level, clearly, that's what Chazal, the Rambam, are counseling. But there is another level to this advice as well. Approach that, if you take a look on the other side, the Rambam, the beginning of the fifth parak in Hilchos Tshuva. Rishus l'chol odom nesuna. Here there's actually a crucial difference between the standard printed text and I think what the Frankel manuscripts have. I think the Frankel manuscripts have Rishus kol odom nesuna lo. Rishus kol odom nesuna lo. Im rotza lahatos atzmo l'derech tova v'liyos tzadik or Rishus biyado. Rishus here in the sense of the person has the capacity, he has the power, he has the wherewithal. As in Pirkei Avos, where Rishus designates denotes the secular authorities. So a person has that capacity, he has the ability, he has the wherewithal. Im rotza lahatos atzmo l'derech tova v'liyos tzadik or Rishus biyado. If a person wants to incline himself, place himself on the path of goodness and be righteous, he has that capacity. Conversely, im rotza lahatos atzmo l'derech ro'a v'liyos rosho harishus biyado. If he wants to opt for the other path, he has the ability to do so as well. The Rav explains, and this is perhaps the most fundamental insight and remarkable insight into the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, that the Rambam interpolates this discussion of Bechira Chavshis into Hilchos Tshuva. Because to fully understand the mandate and opportunity of tshuva, one has to fully understand the scope of Bechira Chavshis. There's a type of tshuva which is predicated on a more limited understanding of Bechira Chavshis. The more limited understanding of Bechira Chavshis translates that a person can adjudicate and choose between various forces that are pulling him in opposing directions. We have impulses for goodness, for kedusha, but there are also impulses in the opposite direction. And the more limited understanding of Bechira Chavshis says that a person can adjudicate between those two. He can consciously look to tip the scales in favor of either of those two. And because of that, ultimately, he charts a course of action. And because of that, we have the responsibility for how we live our lives. But there is a much more encompassing, a much broader understanding of Bechira Chavshis, which says that a person can actually reshape himself. The various inclinations and impulses that a person has are not givens. And all a person can do is either adjudicate in their favor or against them. But a person can actually affect real, dramatic, formidable and formative change in himself. If by nature I'm a kasan, Bechira Chafshis expresses itself not only in whether or not I succumb to that impulse to anger, or whether I suppress that impulse, but Bechira Chafshis means that I can uproot that impulse for anger. And if b'teva, if naturally, I'm a bal taiva, so Bechira Chafshis expresses itself, again, not only in the ability to choose between that impulse and the impulse for Kedusha, but Bechira Chafshis means that a person can correct, can change, can elevate, can refine, and when necessary, uproot that day or ro'or, that midah. That's why the Rav explains, if you switch back to the first page, that after the Rambam introduces his discussion of Bechira Chafshis, he revisits Mitzvah's Tshuva. He repeats in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, the third source that you have in front of you, he repeats the mandate of Hoel U'Rishus Kol Odom Nesuna Lo, Yishtadel Odom Lasos Tshuva, because the capacity, the wherewithal, is given to a person, he should exert himself to do Tshuva. And very pointedly in Halacha Gimel, the Rav calls attention to the fact that the Rambam now introduces us to the broader challenge of tshuva. Al toma she'ein tshuva ela me'avera she'yesh bohen maisa, kegon znus v'gezel u'gneva. Don't think that the mitzvah of tshuva exhausts itself with regard to concrete, active averos, such as promiscuity, thievery, ela kishem shetzarech odom loshuv me'elo, kachu tzarech lachapaz b'deyos rosh sheyesh lo. Just as a person needs to repent from concrete active averos, a person also needs to repent from character flaws. A person needs to scrutinize himself, identify and repent from character flaws, v'loshuv min hakas, min ha'eva, min hakinna, min ahito, meredifas ha'momon, v'hakovod, meredifas ha'macholos, v'chayotzei bohen. Person has to repent from anger, from enmity, from jealousy. From living with an attitude of cynicism, scoffing, pursuit of money, of prestige, pursuit of hedonistic pursuit. A person has to repent, again, not just from the practical manifestations of these character flaws, but from the very flaws themselves. In light of the understanding of Bechira Chafshis, that Bechira Chafshis is not only the ability to choose between the different impulses and the different forces that pull at us, but Bechira Chafshis means that a person can change himself. So now the Rambam tells us that Mitzvah Tshuva encompasses as well affecting such change. Let's try to continue one step further down this path that the Rav provides for us. Let's reread on the second side. Again, the Rambam in Perek Hay, where he formulates the principle of free will, of Bechira Chavshus. Rishus kol Adam nesun alo. Im Rotsa lahatos atzma l'derach tova v'liyos tzadik v'rishus b'yodo. V'im Rotsa lahatos atzma l'derach ro'o. V'liyos rosho v'rishus b'yodo. Hu shekosav v'atora hein ha'odam hoya ka'achad mimenu l'das tova ro'o. Klomar, hein min zeshel odam hoya yochid ba'olam. The ain min sheni doma lo bezeho inyan, she yehehu me atzmo, bedaito uv machshavto yodea hatov hara, ve osa koma shehu chofetz, ve ain misha yaake viyodo, milasos hatov o hara. The Rambam's presentation of what Bechira Chavshus means is remarkable in the following sense. We generally conceive of Bechira Chavshus as freedom of action. We're not coerced to act. We're free to act as we choose. But the Rambam says part of the capacity of Bechira Chavshus that we have is also the capacity to discern and discriminate between right and wrong. It's not only if explained to us this is right and that's wrong, we can now exercise the freedom of will to choose what's right, or we can be held accountable for Rahmanu Litzlan choosing what's wrong. But the Rambam says again, Hein min zeshel odom hoya yochid ba'olam. He's unique in the world. Ve'ein min sheni domelo. There's no other species that resembles him. Bezeh ha'inyan sheyehu me'atzmo bedaitu v'machshavto yodea hatov v'hara. He, from within, me'atzmo, from within, bedaita, with his understanding, v'machshavto, with through his thought processes, he has a capacity to discern, to discriminate between tov and ra, and then act based on that discernment, based on that discrimination. That's how the Rambam understands the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. Hein ha'adam hoya ke'achad. According to the Rambam, the way the pasuk is to be read is, behold, Adam is unique. Hein ha'adam hoya ke'achad. Like Avimelech says, kimat shachav achad ha'on. Achad in the sense of unique. Hein ha'adam hoya ke'achad. He's unique. Mimenu lodas tov hara. From within, he has the capacity to know, to understand, to discern Tov and Ra. Rambam in Shmona Prakim identifies his source. He says, if you look in the Targum on the Pasuk, Unkelus already interprets the Pasuk that way. But if you think about it, there's a little bit of a subtle point here, Rabbi Osai. If you think about it, there's something strange about the Rambam's formulation. He begins by telling us that we have freedom of action to either go on the Derech HaTova or the Derech HaRa'a. He quotes his proof text, and then in analyzing the proof text, he tells us that really, Bechira Chavshus encompasses much more than just freedom of action. That Bechira Chavshus also encompasses, again, it teaches that we have this capacity of discernment and understanding. So what he should have done is, he should have said that Rishus l'chol Adam nesuno lahakir hatov v'hara, Ula hatos atzmal derech tova, and then quoted the pasuk. it's strange that he tells us one point, quotes his proof text, and then in the process of explicating that proof text, introduces what's really the more revolutionary element of this conception of Bechira Chofshis. Not quite a bait and switch, because the pasuk does prove the point that the Rambam introduced, but it also says something which is, it includes much, much more than that. But it's clear that what the Rambam has in mind is the following, I will say. In fact, the point he is trying to impress upon us is one point, that a person has total, absolute freedom of action. The key to that freedom of action is in the recognition, is in the understanding of what each of the paths in front of us represent. The way a person is able to marshal and exercise that capacity for freedom of action is by understanding clearly, vividly, and profoundly what the two options are. And that's why the Rambam says, what I'm interested in conveying is Rishus Kol Adam Nesunalo. Control of the entire person is given to him. It's not, the person is given the potential for total, again, self-mastery, self-discipline, self-control. You want to know how is that possible? So the answer is, because the Torah tells us, that a person has this capacity to discern and discriminate. And if that discernment and if that discrimination is strong enough and clear enough and profound enough, it allows a person, lahatos atzmo, lederach tova, to overcome any and all obstacles. Let's try to illustrate this. The force of understanding. The force of recognition. Imagine, Rahman al-Itzlan, a tragic scenario, all too common in our world. A young Jewish man or woman is poised to marry a non-Jew. The young Jewish man or woman in question is aware of his or her Jewishness, but tragically had no education. And all attempts to dissuade him or her from this course of action have been a total failure. And then Vayihi Hayom, that slips from the non-Jewish partner's mouth, a visceral, vicious, anti-Semitic comment. Jewish money controlling the world. Jews wanting to send American soldiers to die, to fight for them. The modern versions of the medieval blood libel. And the Jewish partner hears it. Hears that visceral, vicious anti-Semitism. And sees how deeply, deeply embedded it is. How naturally it emerged. All of a sudden, there's a moment of recognition, which is so powerful that with the force of an explosion, it shatters illusions, totally decimates whatever bonds of infatuation, which until now had been unbreakable. It's a moment of mimenu lodas tovara. The sheer force of understanding and recognizing clearly, vividly, deeply, profoundly, accurately, understanding the truth and knowing what the two paths represent, what the two options represent. Another illustration. Also, a very, very tragic, tragic scenario, Rahman al-Islam. An individual very seriously depressed, Rahman al-Islam. Feels trapped in a bottomless pit. Life seems pointless, worse than that, so acutely and searingly painful. And Rahman al-Islam, because the depression is so serious, the individual makes a suicide attempt. Jumps off a bridge, Rahman al-Islam. What survivors from such attempts attest is that the shock of that ultimate action also creates an explosion of light and understanding. And there's a moment of recognition when the individual is in free fall that as real and painful as the illness has been, it's a layer superimposed. But life is of indescribable, inestimable value and worth, and something that he, like the rest of us, cherishes more than anything. There's an explosion of recognition. There's a moment of mimenu lodas tovara, which is just so powerful that it allows the person to transcend and see and understand and will things that he was unable to see and will previously. You're all familiar with Chazal's depiction of this moment. Amu alav alav elazer ben dudia shelo hi niach zona achas ba'olam shelo bo aleha. It was an individual, Elazer ben dudia, so depraved that he consorted with every zona in the world. Pam achas shoma sheyesh zona achas bekracha hayam v'oisen otelos kos kis dinrin b'schara. He heard of a particular zona that one had to travel across the sea, across the ocean, pay an extraordinary price, but he wasn't deterred. V'holach v'ova aleha shiva nahoros. And then, as he was about to commit the avera, she says to him, Elazer ben dudia ein mekablen oso b'tshuva. Your life has been so depraved, the trajectory of your life has been such that you're not going to be accepted if you try to do tshuva. Halach v'yosha v'en shnei horim u'gva'os. He went, he sat himself down between two mountains. He asked the mountains to intercede for him. He asked Shamayim v'oretz to intercede for him. He asked the sun and the moon to intercede for him. In each case they told him, Ad she'onu mevakshim alecha nevakesh al atzmeinu. We have to ask for ourselves. Omer ein hadover toli elabi. He niach roshu ben birkov, he placed his head between his knees, go'o b'vchiyo, he broke out in tears, ad sheyotzes nishmaso, until he died, so great was the distress. He experienced a moment where the elemental power of Mimenu Ladas Tova Ra was felt. When she made that comment to him, and she told him, you're hopeless. So all of a sudden, there was a moment of such clear, powerful, vivid recognition and understanding that what he had refused to understand, what he hadn't been able to muster the willpower to do, so all of a sudden, in a flash, he was able to do it. Such is the power of Mimenu Ladas Tova Ra. The Rambam is interested in telling us, Rishus Kol Adam Nesunalo. The Rambam is interested in telling us, don't underestimate yourselves. Don't think that who you are, what you are is a given, and all you can hope to do is adjudicate between different forces. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to be architects of our personality. He allows us l'chapes b'deyos ro sheyesh lo v'loshuv mehen. A person is not only given the ability not to succumb to anger, he's given the ability to uproot anger. A person is not only given the ability not to act on his jealousy, he's given the ability to uproot the jealousy. Says the Rambam, you're wondering, where does that ability come from? Those midos so deeply, deeply ingrained and embedded, many of them congenitally, the Rambam says that's the force of Mimenu Lodas Tova Ra. If we understand it clearly enough, if we understand it powerfully enough, so then the force of Mimenu Lodas Tova Ra gives us the ability and the willpower to effect that change. problem is that we rarely, if ever, experience that mimena ladas tova ra. We know tova ra, but again, perfunctorily, casually, not with that elemental power of Avelozer ben Dodia. Ika kvedus ha-hasoga, writes Rav Kook. I think my son showed me this passage. Ika kvedus ha-hasoga, hu bo mimasha ha-rotzon el ha-tov el ha-shlemus, nechlosh al yidei pegomei ha-midos v'ha-avonos. It's a little bit of a catch-22. That clarity of understanding the brute power and force which that clear understanding can unleash is clouded by our averus. It's a little bit of a catch-22. Kvedus ha-hasoga. When a person is tired, it's hard to think clearly. We think, but our thoughts are a little bit muddled. They're not as sharp as they could be. Being mired in chait also muddles the mind. So it's a catch-22. Le'olam yira adam atzmo ki'ilu hu notel lomos. B'shem yomos b'shaito, b'nimtza omei b'cheto. The reality Rav Kook is describing, notwithstanding, there is one moment when every one of us, no matter how weighed down by past mistakes we may be, there is one moment when we won't suffer from kvedos ha-hasoga, when our thoughts won't be muddled, when our perception won't be clouded. When a person, Rachman Litzlan, is no telomos, he sees things clearly. All the temptations, all the yetzer horrors, all the cheshbonos, all the pettinesses that blind us day in, day out, from one moment to the next, when a person is no telomos, there's also an explosion of recognition. And a person feels that elemental power of mimenu ladas tova ra. All the cheshbonos, all the scores to be settled, all the olam hazeh dikah considerations of prestige and money and pleasure. All the skewed perspectives on what's really important, what's really enduring. All the arrogance, all of it is shattered. All the illusions and delusions dispelled. And we see things clearly. And that's the secret the Rambam told us, that if only mimenu lo das tov ara, so then we have that capacity of rishus kol adam nesuna lo. A person can make of himself, of herself, a tzaddik k'moshe Rabbeinu, but it depends upon that elemental power and force of the mimenu lo das tov ara, seeing things fully. So conjuring up the prospect, the possibility, Rachmana Litzlan, of Shema Yomus B'Shaito, is on one level depressing and sobering, but on another level is remarkably illuminating and liberating. All the confusion which leads us to waste opportunities to learn more, opportunities to come to shul and to daven properly, slowly, with kavana, opportunities to do a chesed ben odom lechavero, opportunities to swallow and not respond, opportunities for Shmiras Halosha. The clarity of perception that a person has when he's no talomus is unparalleled and unrivaled. If Rabbeinu Yonah's depiction of tshuva, of kos meribus, of experiencing regoza u'da'oga, distress, anxiety, if that description seems unfamiliar to us, it's because our mimenu ladas tova ra, when we confront chait, is inadequate. When a person sees chait for what it is, the distance it imposes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the waste and the squandering of life, of life's opportunities, so there's anguish, there's anxiety in contemplating the chait. But it's precisely that anxiety and anguish, it's precisely seeing the contrast between the tov and the ra that allows us to do tshuva. That the Rambam writes, if you take a look in the bottom here of the first page, when he's extolling the possibilities of tshuva, so the Rambam writes, "Gedola tshuva shemekareves es ha'odom la'shchina." It brings a person closer to the Shechina, close to the Shechina. Shenama shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Im tachso b'tshuva bi sidvak. If you'll return, if you'll do tshuva, you'll cling to me. Emesh, right? Last night, as recently as last night, hoyazeh Sonui lifnei hamoko meshukotu meruchot v'toeva v'hayom hu ohav nechmad kor v'yedid. The change happened overnight. How is it possible? The Rambam three halachos earlier said that the change has to be, a person has to uproot those deos ros, he has to correct those deos ros. And now the Rambam is telling us, what, this happens, this can happen overnight? Such formidable and formative change? So the answer is, if the Mimenu Lodas Tova Ra is strong enough, it can happen overnight. It's a very realistic portrait the Rambam is giving. To the degree that we experience the merivus, the ragaza, and the da'aga, so to that degree a person affects change. The deeper, the stronger the merivus, the more dramatic and the more transformative the change. And yes, it's entirely realistic. If only we have the mimenu l'das tova ra in all its elemental force, it's entirely realistic that Emesh, last night, a person, this was his profile, he was hated, despicable. V'hayom hu ohuv nechmad kariv yedid, beloved, an intimate, a friend, kaviyochol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more painful the tshuva, the more redemptive. The key to experiencing and living tshuva on that level is the mimenu l'das tova ra. And Chazal say, the way a person can stimulate that is by seriously, seriously contemplating the possibility, which is a real one. This isn't a flight of imagination. This is real. By considering the possibility, ki'ilu hu notel lomus, what that allows for, what that affords in terms of clarity of perception, the mimenu l'das tova ra, yes, initially is overwhelming in terms of merivus and regaza and da'aga, but ultimately, and the ultimately can be as soon as the next morning, what it can culminate in is hayom hu ohuv nechmad karo v'yedid. Good job.